Well, hello, this is Jeff Gattiosi, and you're on MisplacedStraws.com, where music comes to life. And Sons of Silver is a relatively new band that mixes an indie rock aesthetic with some platinum credibility. Led by frontman Peter Argyropoulos, the band features current and former members of Pearl Jam, Candlebox, and Skillet, and they've just released a great new EP called Doomsday Noises, and Pete's here to talk about it. Welcome, Pete.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. So, Sons of Silver, you guys have been on the road for a while now, put out a couple of singles and then the EP. How did this group of musicians originally come together?
Well, the bass player, Adam Curry, and I have been friends for quite a few years. We were in our first band together, a band called Last December, a few years back. And the band had its run, with being a local favorite in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. being with a label, touring around, and getting chewed up and spit out by a label. But Adam and I stayed close and did a lot of session work together after that. And then when I started writing some songs on my own, as an artist once again, I called up Adam about playing the shows live. And he brought in Dave to play drums. Dave brought in Kevin. And my wife, Brina, was already on board because we were working together. She's my engineer, or I'm her, artist, so to speak, or producer. And so that's how it came together. It was actually pretty seamless and not painful as far as looking for bandmates. And we all had a natural musical chemistry as well as personal chemistry.
And the new EP, as we mentioned, is named Doomsday Noises.
Yes.
When it comes to writing, does the band have sort of a collaborative process, or do you kick it off and bring the songs to the members? How does that work?
It's very collaborative. when we started out, it was, as I was mentioning a moment ago, it was very much a singer-songwriter thing. I was bringing the songs to the band. Guys would interpret them and really run with them. And, we were fortunate in that we were able to get some attention and start touring right away. And this was not under the name Sons of Silver. This was under our startup name, which was Pete RG, RG being short for Argyropoulos. So that's how we began. But as we started playing a lot of shows and spending more time in the studio on the road, we evolved into a band situation, which meant that we were writing songs collaboratively. And once that happened, the sound change went from being a singer-songwriter thing to a band rock and roll thing. And at that point, that was, a reason enough for the name change. But that writing spirit is what really, really made a statement for us, because we just get in a room with very few, if any, ideas, and we just start noodling around, and someone catches on to an idea, which then sparks another person. Within a matter of minutes, we'll be on to the foundation of a song. It happens really fast.
Well, and it's cool, because as far as the sound of the band goes, you guys are without a doubt a California band. And I'm an East Coast guy. I'm up here in Connecticut, so I love the New York and the New Jersey sound, but I've kind of always been drawn to those California bands.
Right on.
And with you guys, I hear X, I hear some of the Chili Peppers, I hear Rage Against the Machine.
Oh, love that. All three of those. Yeah.
Did you have an idea of the sound you wanted sort of when you transformed from that kind of singer-songwriter into a more rock band?
No. It just happened. It truly just happened. Mm-hmm. All of us, our musical tastes individually, collectively, are very diverse. We all will be on the road playing DJ in the bus or in the van. And, one day we'll be listening to Marshall Crenshaw. The next day someone's in charge and we're listening to Radiohead. Another day we'll be listening to, Frank Sinatra, or the Beatles. So it Fleet Foxes, First Aid Kit. It just, the gamut is wide.
Mm-hmm.
But for whatever reason, when we actually sit down and just start playing, jamming, noodling, rehearsing, even if it's in a rehearsal room, in the recording studio, on a stage during sound check, we play rock and roll. And I think that has to do with, because deep down, each and every one of us really wants to be a rock and roller, And that's what we all feel. It's like people have asked me from time to time, well, if you could ever have been in any band, what would it have been? And I say The Clash, you know, that I'm drawn to that sort of punk, but, you know, very politically or just, you know, socially oriented stuff. And, and I think, you know, when you hear Dave talk about stuff, and not to speak for him, he probably would have said like maybe Charlie Watts being the Stones, you know what I mean? So each guy has his thing. Kevin had probably would have chosen Radiohead, for instance. I don't know. I would have to guess on Adam, but Brina probably would have said Fugazi. So, you know, it's there, that rock and roll in all of us. And I think it just manifests itself in our own way where we draw from all of those and naturally land sort of on the same page.
Well, you know, and it's funny too, how you talk about, you know, all of you having such disparate influences that come together, because, you know, you guys are a group of industry vets. And when people hear the names of the bands that some of the other guys have been in, a certain sound and a certain song come to mind, but together you guys all create something new and different, kind of bringing all of that into a new sound, which is really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's nice to hear.
And you know, you mentioned even some of kind of the lyrics and things like that. And now I assume most of this record was written before, you know, the current state of the world we're in. But
all of it, yeah.
It's a really of the moment record. I mean, songs like Outbreak and Deep Division immediately jump out at you lyrically. Where was your headspace when you were sort of putting those together?
It was in the moment. It was, you know, I was a history major in college. I've always, you know, found a sort of a passion in politics, social events like that. Why? I have no idea. It's not like, you know, my parents were pounding that over my head when I was a kid, but I've always been interested in those things. And so I think that naturally with the music that we're making, and I mean the music, the actual sound that we were coming up with at the band, that angst lent itself to the type of lyrics that I was coming up with, because I am the lyricist, you know, and at the same time, those are things that collectively we talk about all the time. We'll be on a bus, in the van, in the studio, wherever it is, out to lunch. I mean, you know, literally, not figuratively, but, you know, we'll be talking about, you know, a range of issues that are social, political, you know, science, whatever. We talk sports too, but a lot of it is just debating politics and the likes in a fun way, and it gets spirited. So that lends itself to the songs and as well, that, you know, I sort of become the filter, or the, you know, spokesperson, so to speak, for the band. And I can say that, you know, probably at the time, like with Outbreaks, you know, someone was asking me, how did you come up with that lyric, the Outbreak from a Foreign Land? And I said, I probably read something that stuck in my mind and it popped out in the lyrics, you know, because a lot of times the key lyrics come out while we're I should say a lot of time, all the time, the key lyrics come out while we're working up a song. So those first 15, 30 minutes, probably 25, 35, maybe 50% of the lyrics come right at that moment with the band at the same time.
And is it just sort of like a stream of consciousness thing, like while you guys are jamming the music, whatever words come to your head kind of end up being the final almost?
Yeah, it's that. I mean, in fact, that's definitely what happens for all of these songs, except for one song, you know, Read 'Em Their Rights. All these songs, that's what happened. And that then lent the lyrical theme lends itself to the direction of the song as we finish it from a structural point of view, as we finish the arrangement of the parts and of the sounds, even in the mix. So that stamp of that lyric and the spirit of it is there from the very beginning. And you know, going back to Read 'Em Their Rights, that was the only song where the key lyric, the chorus lyric, so to speak, wasn't there from the beginning, but everything else was. The Everybody Walks a Big Walk, Everybody Talks a Big Talk, the Un-American stuff, that was all there. And in fact, we took that song on the road and played a few shows with it, and I was sort of mumbling the chorus, and I think it was like the second or third show where I said Read 'Em Their Rights, and Kevin came over to me and was like, hey, you know, that Read 'Em Their Rights thing was pretty cool. And so, you know, I was like, yeah, it was, wasn't it? And I made a little mental note, wrote it on my phone off on the side of the stage, and went back, finished the show, and there we were.
Well, And it's weird, I think, because, you know, we talked earlier about kind of California bands, and even when you compare more to the East Coast ones, it always seemed that the California bands were always the more socially conscious ones lyrically.
Oh, you think so? I never noticed that.
Well, it was funny. Where I really started thinking that was, I don't know if you've seen all the Laurel Canyon documentaries that have been on recently. And
that was great. I loved it. Yeah.
You know, when you look at those bands and even going on into X and bands like Rage, there's always that social bent. Whereas when you look at some of the New York bands, I mean, with the exception of somebody like Lou Reed, but, you know, it usually isn't there as strongly. So, you know, I think
you
guys kind of carry that pedigree.
That I'm sitting here just, you know, off the cuff thinking about it as you were saying that. That's pretty astute. That's pretty spot on. I'm going to have to that's the type of topic now I'm going to spend the weekend thinking about, at least. Seriously, I'm going to go now through stuff. No, that's pretty spot on. I think you're on something there, and that's pretty true. Even with the Chili Peppers, look at all, you know, because you mentioned them as we started off here. Those lyrics, I mean, you know, it's not like you're finding a lot of love songs there or songs talking about, you know, skyscrapers.
Yeah, it's what's happening out there. You know, there's a very different feel. I think when you look at different parts of the country and the scene, the music scenes that came from them, they all had sort of themes to me. And I always saw California as the more socially conscious one.
Yeah, this is one of the best sort of, I don't know, analogies or just, I don't know, just making, you know, finding out of something, whatever the word might be, that I've heard in a while. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, thank you. Well, and again, I kind of got to listening to your record and those, you know, the lyrics kind of jumping out at me. I'm like, you know, we're not hearing that in a lot of other places. So I think it's kind of carrying on that mantle.
Oh, well, I love that. Just that's for me. That makes my day, seriously. So, you know, because we feel it. You know, it's not forced. I mean, like I said, we talk about these things. I mean, most of the lyrics are, you know, we come up with, or I'll come up with as the band's recording, but then the filling in the blanks on it. I mean, I just spin the songs in my head all day long, and they sort of fall out. So it's not like it's a forced thing. It's very natural.
And considering what the whole world is going through now and touring has come to a full stop, were you kind of nervous at all about being a new band, putting music out and not being able to get on the road to promote it?
Yes, very. We were relieved, though, by, you know, a number of folks. First of all, the folks at Universal who, you know, are releasing our stuff and promoting it, helping us promote it. They were the first ones to say, hey, actually, this is a really good window. There are a lot of artists who would normally take up a lot of space, a lot of airtime, a lot of attention, who are postponing releases to sort of coincide with, you know, future to be determined, you know, tours. So that's good. Likewise, radio folks came back to us and said something similar. And the third thing is, you know, people spending more time at home and spending more time on social networks and the likes of that. And that means that eventually they find their way to look for new things because they get, you know, they've gone through the stuff that's sort of in your face all the time. So it turns out for us, and I'm sure other artists in the same position, it's actually been a good thing. Now, I would gladly give up that opportunity for us to be
the road.
Somewhat close back to normal, even forgetting the road. The road for us is, you know, it's that's the key part of who we are. But just for the world in general, it's a nightmare, you know. So,
and when you guys finally can get back going, and it's looking more and more like, you know, bands are looking toward mid-2021 before things start getting back. You know, I mean, first of all, do you see yourselves putting out another EP or something before the tour? And then do you guys see yourself opening for a more established band in bigger venues or doing clubs on your own?
Well, to answer both questions, one, we are already basically, we've finished our next EP. We actually tracked the songs at the same time that we recorded the songs that you're hearing now on the Doomsday Noises EP. We're actually just redoing a couple vocals and tweaking a couple mixes, but it's for all intents and purposes, it's all done. And we're heading back into the studio in another 10 days, and we're going to finish out the rest of the year in the studio working on new songs, and maybe we'll come up with another EP or album or who knows what in the meantime. And then as far as opening up, you know, well, two parts of that. We actually may go on the road later this year doing a radio tour. That's a strong possibility because we've been asked by a number of stations. So now it's now it's a matter of just coordinating it so that it makes sense logistically and also strategically from going from place to place. But as far as opening up for acts or how we're going to do our touring, we expect we'll be opening up for other more notable acts. I really don't see us doing the club thing anymore. We kind of maxed that out. And, you know, the gigs that we did do on bigger stages, you know, 500 to 1,000 cap, 1,500 cap venues, that was, you know, those were great for us. It was just we're meant for a bigger stage like that, even bigger than that. Just by the nature of the sound. So that's where we really aspire to be. And we've already gotten some good feelers out. So I think it's a matter of, you know, where we're at with radio, where we're at with, you know, our socials and the likes of that, but it's looking good. And next year we'll be even more prepared for that than we are now.
Well, I've been talking with Peter Argyropoulos. The band is Sons of Silver. The EP is Doomsday Noises, available everywhere. You can stream it on all the services. And Pete, it's been great talking to you, getting to know you, and best of luck with the EP. And look
Thank
forward
you.
To hopefully catching you on tour sometime if you make it out east here.
Oh yeah, we'll be out there. And thank you for having me, Jeff. And I wanted to tell you, you know, I was reading on your website. I read the interview and with Paul Weller, and I thought that one was fantastic. So,
oh, thank you very much. That was a highlight for me being able to get that, I'll tell you.
Yeah, that's just listening to the bits I listened to but reading the whole thing, I was like, oh, man, that's awesome. So, I mean, I know a bunch of other great ones on it, too, but seriously, that was like, you know, I mean, that's a legend, you know?
Yeah, that was, I don't think I've ever been as nervous for an interview as I was when the phone's ringing for Paul Weller.
That's awesome. That's so cool. I love hearing that, man. That's awesome. Well thank you.
Stay in touch. If we could ever get any word out on new music or tour dates or anything like that, feel free to send it over and blast it out to whoever we can.
Yeah, please do. And if there's any merch or anything you want, some hats or tees, let me know. And we'll be in touch. Or if you ever want to interview any of the other guys in the band, you know, everyone's available.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Best of luck, my friend.
All right. Thanks. Just take care. Bye-bye.